Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. This morning, I've got Mary Smith with me, the editor and chief of Edible Alaska. Mary, are you there?
Good morning, Amy.
Hey, so good to hear your lovely voice.
Yours too.
Yeah, thank you for joining me on this rainy, strange weather December morning.
Yeah, the weather has been a little confusing.
Yeah. Yeah, my kids this morning are like, should I wear my snow boots or my rain boots? And I didn't know what to say. All right. Well, Mary, you have been on the show with me before, but it's been about a year. So I would love to have you just give us a little intro about you again, your background and connection to Alaska and Alaskan agriculture and food scene.
Great. I can't believe it's been a year already. What I also can't believe is that since that time, I think we must have put out now 6 issues of Edible Alaska.
What?
I know, it's crazy. We just released our 7th issue.
Oh, I cannot wait to get my hands on it.
Subscribers will probably see it in their boxes today or tomorrow, and then we'll start getting it out around the state. So in case you're not familiar with Edible Alaska, we are a quarterly print magazine and digital presence that really just celebrates, as I like to say, all the different ways that Alaskans get food on the table. So we feature stories about agriculture, fishing, both commercial and recreational. We love to talk about gardening and harvesting wild food. We feature all kinds of great recipes from Alaskan chefs and chefs from all around the world, and we just love to highlight all the different ways that you can celebrate this great state through food.
Yeah, it's a beautiful publication, and Farmland Trust has been a big supporter of the publication from the get-go. I'm a believer. I think, I don't know if we told this story last time, Mary, but I had visions of creating Edible Alaska, and then you and I met at a SARE conference, and there you were, you know, going to publish Edible Alaska, and I was so excited because I just felt it was something that the state really needed, and I was in no position to do it myself, so I'm glad that we've been able to support it.
Yeah, we have been much appreciative of all your support, and it's funny, there were several people around the state who I think had looked into publishing the magazine pretty seriously, which was really heartening to us when we started, because it meant we got a lot of immediate support from those folks, and two, it really confirmed that all around the state people were excited and really interested to dig deep into all kinds of food-based reporting and features.
Yeah, yeah, and for those that don't know, Edible is it just national or is it international at this point? But it's a national publication, and so that's probably where most of the rest of us had been introduced to it prior to Edible Alaska. I'm a subscriber of Edible Portland due to my Oregon roots. I love to continue to follow the food scene down there. Is it just national?
It is. It's international, actually.
Okay.
We have several participants from Canada.
Very good.
There's at least 3 Canadian publications in the family. So about 80 magazines publishing currently right now under the Edible Community umbrella.
I love it.
You really find it almost everywhere you travel in the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah, very good. So Mary, remind us again your connection to the food and agriculture scene in Alaska. How did you get to this place where you thought we needed Edible Alaska?
Well, I first came to Alaska because of food. So my background for the last about 17 years has been in the seafood industry. And so my introduction to Alaska was through seafood. And I fell in love with the state through seafood, ultimately fell in love with a fisherman, and kind of married into Alaska.
As so many of us do.
So for about 6 years, I worked with my husband doing as his deckhand, essentially, longlining for halibut for one season. And then we were trolling out of Sitka for 5 seasons. And while we were trolling, we were just sort of brainstorming about different ways that we could sort of add to our add to our quiver of work, as many Alaskans do, sort of piece together multiple jobs over a season. And I had long been a fan of reading Edible Alaska, and as I like to recall, I felt like I was waiting for years for someone to publish it just so I could read it, because I knew it would be the best of all the edibles.
Yeah.
And then the timing just seemed right for us to launch into it. And it's really been an amazing ride so far.
So I just had an aha, Mary. So did you go from being Dave's deckhand to now you're his boss in the edible publication?
Yes.
Yay. Yes. I hope he's listening and laughing.
Article magazine, which is really exciting. He has a background in writing, and so it was great to see him flex his brain. And he wrote a really great feature about Duke Russell for our winter issue. I don't know if you've had the chance to see Duke Russell's melamine plates that he's been producing.
Oh, yeah, at the Fire Island Farmers Market, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So quite a few of his pieces on these really great melamine plates. So they're super durable and absolutely gorgeous. So Dave wrote a piece introducing our readers to Duke and his approach to art. And then we thought these plates would make a great sort of culinary related holiday gift.
So absolutely.
Pick some of those plates up. It's a great way to share Alaska with friends and family and support.
Yeah, I love it. So Mary, before we forget, because this half hour goes by so fast on Ag Matters Radio, let's give some of the specifics about where people can subscribe to the magazine, look at the online feature, buy a gift subscription, etc.
Yeah, you can find us always online at edibleak.com. Ediblealaska.com will also get you there. And when you get to our website, the majority of stories that we publish will always appear on the website eventually. We sort of hold back a little on the print stories to let people enjoy the tactile experience of reading them in the magazine. The easiest way to get the magazine delivered to your house is just to subscribe, and you'll find a button there online. So I like to say that Edible is available in sort of an NPR model, and that we always offer the magazine for free. So if you're in Palmer, you can always pick up a copy at Non-Essentials and some other places around town. You can also grab a copy from Amy.
Yep.
And then find other distribution sites for the magazine on our website, so all across the state of Alaska, wherever you may be listening. But if you decide that you like what you're reading and you're a fan of the local food movement, it's really easy to subscribe. $24 gets a full year of issues delivered right to your door, so you don't have to go search for the magazine. And then you know that money is going back into supporting our local writers and photographers and helping us continue to produce this awesome magazine.
Oh, I love it. Breaking that down, $6 a subscription, $6 a magazine. They're so good. The stories are so good. The photography is incredible. Every edition is kind of like I sit down with it. I give myself time to sit down and read it cover to cover. And then I always go back and show people, did you see this article? Did you see that? So I just love it. And I think it's such an incredible value for that price.
Great. Thanks, Amy. And we like to say also that, that the money really stays here.
Absolutely.
You write me a check for $24, and then I write Julia O'Malley a check, and she writes us a great article, and then she takes that money and spends it locally. Because everyone that participates in this project really, understands the value of eating local. So whether they're buying groceries at the South Anchorage Farmers Market or, picking up some bakery at Fire Island, that money stays in state.
Absolutely. Well, a quick reminder to listeners that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me this morning is Mary Smith, the editor-in-chief of Edible Alaska Publication. An incredible quarterly publication that celebrates all the local food and just food stories in general. What's the tagline of the magazine, Mary?
The official tagline is celebrating local foods season by season.
There we go. Yeah. Yep. Season by season. So given that it's this weird wintry season that we're experiencing right now. But a lot of people are focused on their kind of family recipes and their signature cookies and these kinds of things because it's the holidays. Let's talk a little bit about recipes. And here's kind of an unfair question. You mentioned that the magazine features recipes in every edition. So what are some of your favorite recipes that the publication has showcased over the last 7 issues?
Wow, that's a great question. So we had a ton of fun in our fall issue. Kim Sune, who is an Alaskan who lives here in Anchorage, she just released a new cookbook
about
a month ago. And so there was a lot of really fun things that happened around the cookbook release. And one of those things is that we were able to feature an exclusive recipe. So we did a kale pancake recipe from her book, which was awesome. That's been really fun. It was great to give people a little bit of a sneak peek and a chance to celebrate Kim's new book coming out.
Did you say you said kale pancakes?
Yes.
So is this like a savory pancake or is it still a breakfast pancake just with additional green in it?
Yes, definitely a savory pancake that you could enjoy for breakfast, but would also be great any time of day. You could also make them kind of a mini version and serve them at a holiday party or as an apple. Yeah.
Love it. And
great way to work some Alaska kale into your diet.
Yeah.
In this current issue, we're featuring a great scallop recipe. So we're doing that in conjunction with the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. And they gave us a great chu-chi red curry scallop recipe. Especially fun because I just ate at Lemongrass, which is the restaurant where you may find this recipe featured up in Fairbanks. And I just had the opportunity to eat there for the first time during the Alaska Food Policy Conference about a month ago.
Okay. So
this is a great recipe. If you've eaten at Lemongrass, if you love Thai food, this is a kind of fun behind-the-scenes look at what's going on there in the kitchens of Lemongrass, and a fantastic recipe. Great way to highlight some Alaska scallops that you might have in your freezer.
Yeah, I love it. Lemongrass has been an incredible supporter of local farmers in the Fairbanks area for decades. I remember when I first came on at the Division of Ag and we were trying to find restaurants and places that would source Alaska grown. Lemongrass was already doing it. They were like leading the way in the interior region. So that's so fun that you got to feature one of their kind of recipes.
Yeah, really great. You know, right now this week it would be great to make. We did an awesome ramen recipe from Tutka Bay Lodge.
Oh, okay.
Wild salmon, so that's a nice winter warm up. You can find all these recipes, with the exception of the lemongrass recipe. It's not quite up on the website yet, so look for that in the print magazine, but it'll be up soon.
Okay.
Dig the recipe section there on our website. We have a fun chili recipe that features Alaska Brewing Company's porter. It's a great way to add a little smoke to your food. Their smoked porter. You don't want to fire the grill up. If the weather's too blustery, you can just put a splash of smoked porter in your chili.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I love it.
Those are some I'm thinking off the top of my head.
Yeah. Well, like I said, unfair question. I love this time of year to... one of my signature things that I like to take to parties is smoked salmon dip, or to have like a smoked salmon dip contest and tell everyone, because everyone has a little different spin on their smoked salmon dip, right? Growing up on the southern Oregon coast, the way that we prepared smoked salmon down there is just a little bit different than the way folks do it up here in Alaska. So a smoked salmon dip is a great option for holiday parties, right?
Yeah, and you know what else has been really hot the last couple of years? Charcuterie platters, but you can really put a good Alaska twist on that concept and do sort of a seafood-focused take on a charcuterie platter. So,
okay, tell me more.
Cutting board, and you just layer all kinds of complementary or contrasting flavors. So you can have some cold smoked salmon, some hot smoked salmon. Maybe you have some smoked sablefish. You could put some pickled salmon or some pickled fish that you may have made yourself or you purchased. So a lot of times pickled salmon has kind of a nice sort of sweet overtone to it, so it'll contrast nicely with some salty smoked fish. You could put a beautiful little bowl of a smoked fish dip on there. You could put some caviar, some roe.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of some of my most recent guests that I've had on the show, Barnacle Foods, you could use their kelp salsa or pickled kelp. And then Evie's Brinery, some of her fermented foods would probably go pretty good on that too.
Yes, absolutely. We just did a web exclusive piece on putting together a cheese plate, and Helen Howarth, who's the owner of Fromaggio's in Anchorage, that was one of her suggestions, was to add that kind of nice bite of a pickled food. And she also thought that the pickled kelp from Barnacle would be a great Alaska addition to any holiday cheese plate or appetizer spread.
Yeah, I love it. You know, that's another thing we share, right, Mary, is love of cheese. And I actually, on my vacation last week, someone had a cheese tray out. And I said, you know, I think I've decided that cheese is my love language.
Yes. I'm not embarrassed to admit that I had cheese curds for breakfast.
Oh, I love it. Very good. There's an incredible dairy down where I'm from, Face Rock Creamery. And I would be ashamed to tell you how much money I spent in the creamery while I was down there for 4 or 5 days.
No shame in good dairy. It's a good segue into one of the stories in our winter issue, is that we talk about, we'll learn a little bit about the history of dairies here in Alaska. And then we have a little insight into a goat milk share that you can buy into in the Anchorage area. And then we actually supply readers with a recipe for how to make fresh cheese at home. There's no commercially produced cheese here in Alaska, but you could find yourself purchasing a gallon of Havemeister dairy milk and making your own farmer cheese at home.
Oh, great. Man. You know, as much as I love cheese, I have never ventured down that path. I don't know. I'm afraid to mess it up, or I don't know. I'm just one of those people. I'm not always a doer. I'm just an enjoyer of the goods at the end, but maybe I'll get inspired by this story.
We really wanted to supply people with a super easy approach to making cheese. It does seem like something that could be really intimidating, but this is a fresh cheese. It just has a handful of ingredients in it, and it's pretty foolproof, and you will love how it turns out. Whenever I make fresh cheese, it doesn't last very long. Usually the afternoon that I make it, I keep sampling it, and then before I know it, I've eaten the entire final product. So give it a try. I think you'll be surprised at how easy it is and how delicious your final product will be.
Oh, maybe that would be. I've been kind of exploring what I want my little holiday gathering with some of my girlfriends to be this year. So maybe we'll explore our cheese making ability.
Easy to get kids involved in it too. So the recipe that we offer features a little bit of lemon zest and rosemary to flavor the cheese. You could add all kinds of flavoring. You could make a large batch and have multiple flavors, let the kids come up with some crazy ideas. You could make a sweet version that you put a little maybe fresh vanilla bean in, a little grape or two of nutmeg, or all kinds of savory options. So something fun to brainstorm with kids and then let them get hands-on in kind of the mixing and final process.
I love it. I'm totally inspired, and I haven't even read the story yet, Mary. Nice work. Yeah. So one last reminder that you're listening to Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, here at Big Cabbage Radio. And my guest is Mary Smith, the editor-in-chief of Edible Alaska, an incredible quarterly publication that celebrates local food. So, Mary, we're down to our the last one-third of the show. The way you were just talking reminds me that you yourself have a little bit of a culinary background, right?
Yes, I have spent multiple years working in some different kitchens around the country. I am a graduate of the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York.
Nice.
And spent a couple of years as a culinary instructor when I lived in Chicago. So I love food. I love cooking, love teaching about food. And
maybe you can come to my holiday cheese making party and make the cheese. We can watch. Oh, so the publication over the last year has highlighted a number of chefs who are real local food gurus and make a point of showcasing local food. But there's kind of an exciting story about one of the chefs that's been featured, right?
Yes, yes. In our first issue, we did a feature on Chef Laura Cole that was written by Jenna Schnur, a great local writer here in Anchorage, and Laura Cole owns and is the executive chef at 229 Parks up in Denali. And Laura, we featured her because right when we launched the first issue, she had been nominated for a James Beard Award, which is, you know, one of the highest honors that a chef can receive. So everyone in the state was really excited. We've had multiple James Beard nominees and winners amongst Alaskans. Our own digital editor, Jessica Stugelmayer, is a James Beard Award winner for some video work that she's done. You can see one of Jessica's video projects on the website currently, a great video all about Mountain View. But I digress. Back to Laura Cole for a moment. Laura, it's so exciting. Tomorrow night is going to be one of the chefs competing on the 15th edition of Top Chef on Bravo.
Woohoo!
Not familiar with that show. It's just a really fun, high-level competition amongst professional chefs from around the country where they compete in all kinds of really interesting and high-pressure situations. And like many reality shows, there's sort of an elimination process. Each week, one of the chefs is cut from the roster until there are two chefs left, or maybe three, depending on the season, and they have kind of an amazing final cook-off to determine the winner of Top Chef. And we are so excited that Laura is competing in that was filmed Colorado, and it debuts tomorrow night on Bravo.
Yeah, I cannot wait to watch it and see how far she goes. Is she, unfair question, is she the first Alaskan to be on the show?
Yes, she is. She is. And I cannot think of a better choice. She is an amazing human, incredibly supportive of Alaska's local food movement. She was up at the Alaska Food Policy Council event in Fairbanks, and just a really, like, really walks the walk when it comes to supporting the local food movement.
That could not be more true. And it's funny because for this show, you know, I'm now a year into this show, so I've had a lot of different guests, and I kind of have this list that, you know, I'm typically scheduled about 4 to 6 weeks out for guests. And so I'm always looking ahead to who would I like to have on the show. And I have a list of names of people that I want to get on the show that some of them I've reached out to, and the timing just hasn't worked. But anyways, Laura has been on my list for a while. And then it was like, then she's, you know, a James Beard nominee. And now she's on Top Chef. And I'm like, I'm never going to get her on my little radio show now.
Busy woman, but she'd love to be on this show. I'm sure it'll happen.
Yeah. And the other great thing about Laura is that if you talk to there's just a handful of growers in that Denali Park area and then in the extended region of Fairbanks interior, et cetera. But you could find a handful of growers that would sing her praises because she has highlighted and featured their products and really, I don't want to say carried their farm, but in a lot of ways she has introduced that region to local food, made it kind of the thing to do, such that even some of the smaller, less high-end restaurants in the Gulch area there, they have started highlighting local foods as well, because, you know, once Laura does it at 229, then everybody else wants to do it too.
Yeah, she's a real trendsetter, and that can be a game changer, a life changer for businesses that revolve around her and those other restaurants. So yeah, she's such a valuable part of the community.
Yeah, you know, and how cool is it that our first Alaskan chef to compete on Top Chef is a big local food supporter, and, you know, someone that like you said, walks the walk and really knows it, highlights it, and she cares. You know, I think that's one of the things that I really noticed the first time I was in the room with her, is that she really cares.
Yeah, incredibly passionate. And I have watched a couple of trailers for the show, and you know, one thing that we're always talking about at the magazine and food circle here is that, you know, what makes Alaska cuisine? What is Alaska, like, how do we define Alaska cuisine? And one thing that you hear chefs and cooks saying all the time is that because of the situation that we're in up here, innovation is really key. And especially, you know, in Laura's situation, you cannot let yourself get stressed out if you get put in a situation where product doesn't arrive or you have to think on your feet. And the trailer, the section of the trailer that I saw, she's in that position. You know, they've run out of ovens and time is running out, and she has to change her game plan sort of, you know, really on the fly to get this dish completed for the competition. And you hear her commenting, like, and you can tell when you see her that she's chill. She's like, no big deal. This is how I roll. You know, I cannot get derailed by having to innovate. And in fact, it's sort of what one thing that really drives what makes our cuisine really unique up here is this ability to enjoy innovation and see these challenges as opportunities to create unique and amazing food and not as setbacks.
Yeah, I love it. That's a really good question about, you know, what defines Alaskan food. And I think we've really been lucky. You know, obviously I come from the agriculture side of the equation, and I think the agriculture industry has the opportunity to benefit from the leadership of the seafood industry. And the seafood industry has done such a good job of branding Alaskan, the purity and the quality and all these things. And I think the agriculture industry can come along right behind and use some of those same marketing tools to point out why our, you know, locally grown foods are better and fresher and all these things. But that's an interesting question to think, what defines Alaskan food?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're used to seeing other regions that have branded food that are household names. You know, when you think of like a Vidalia onion,
mm-hmm.
there's no reason why next up in the queue of amazing, recognizable geographical foods, we won't see, you know, an Alaska onion or an Alaska carrot.
Yeah.
Not because of the great stories that we can tell, but because those vegetables are actually different, you know, and their flavor, their sweetness, you know, because of how they're grown or produced here, because of our unique weather. And
yeah, Glacier Valley Farm Jensis onions, right?
Yeah, Jensis, household name.
Yep. Well, we were in the car this morning, and I can't remember which station was on. It was not Big Cabbage Radio. It was Country Station. The kids were with me in the car. Anyway, it was a Glacier Brewhouse ad that talked about their blue plate specials, and I wasn't really listening. I was driving, thinking about the rain and 34 degrees, and they mention Vanderweil Farm tri-colored carrots. And both my kids were like, what? Vanderweil Farm? They're on the radio? And I was like, oh, yay, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. I think turnips could be a great food coming out of Alaska that the lower 48 really, really, you know, grabs onto, much like they have done with our seafood.
Yeah. Mark Rempel's snow apples, as he calls them, right?
The snow apple, I mean, it's a great name. It's a delicious turnip. Yeah.
I don't know if, well, I guess turnips could be the thing that people know Alaska for, but it's just such an unglamorous food. But hey, we'll see what we can do. So Mary, our time is winding down. So just one last little plug for gift subscriptions. I know I have a list of four or five families that live outside Alaska that have either visited or just, you know, are close family friends that I send gift subscriptions to. So remind us again where we can go to subscribe to Edible Alaska and support the great work that you guys are doing.
Yeah, thanks, Amy. Just come on over to edibleak.com. You'll be able to find the subscription link there. We are offering a couple subscription options, including a beautiful gift card option. So you'll see those listed on the subscription page. But don't hesitate to reach out to me directly if you have questions about the magazine. You'll be able to find my email on the website, but it's simply mary@edibleak.com. So feel free to shoot me a note. I'm also going to be at the experimental farm there in Palmer on Friday afternoon. They're having an open house, fun holiday celebration there.
Yeah. You can holiday at the farm, right?
Yeah. We have some info about that on our website, on our events page. And then I'll also be in Anchorage at the Salmon Sisters pop-up on Saturday, selling gift subscriptions. So if you're in Anchorage, you can find information about that on our website. So edibleak.com, that's the place to go to find where we're going to be or to digitally purchase one of those great gift subscriptions.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much, Mary, for joining me this morning on Ag Matters Radio. It's been really fun to hear about all of the stories and the upcoming stories and recipes. I really appreciate you joining me.
Yeah, thank you, Amy. I appreciate being invited to join the show and that you do the show every week. It's great to, I love going back and hearing some of the back episodes and great information for everybody. So thank you for all that you do.
You're welcome. We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.